the number one talk show choice of many galaxies.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the very, very first time. Welcome aboard. I'm delighted you're here, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a really good habit to get into. Quick reminder about our weekly e-zine, our weekly newsletter. It's free, no strings attached. It's called the K-Files e-zine. And to subscribe, you go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and you'll see a button. You'll see it in red letters. It says K-Files e-zine. Click on that and subscribe. You need to go ahead and do that if you haven't done it, because tomorrow evening after the show, we begin sending out the K-Files e-zine. Don't panic if you don't get it tomorrow night after the show. It takes hours for us to get it sent, all of it sent out. Don't panic. If you're subscribed, you should get it. Once in a while, people say, look, I subscribed and I don't know why I'm not getting it. The biggest reason, there are a lot of different factors in that. The biggest reason is you let your email inbox get full, and then our software starts sending it, and it sends it to you, but it bounces back to us because your box is full. Well, then it tries again to send it a little bit later. It bounces back. It tries again to send it. It bounces back. And that time, that third time, your subscription gets wiped out of the database by the software automatically to prevent any accusations of us spamming. We don't spam. Saturday is July the 4th, a huge day here in the United States of America. It is our national holiday. It is the day we celebrate the birth of our nation. And it happens also to be the first Saturday of the month. That means that I will be in the chat room. And, you know, if you're part of our members area, then you have access to the chat room. And I invite you to join us for the chat. I invite you to enjoy. And if you've never done that, get in the chat room and mix it up with us, and let's have a good time. I get emails once in a while from people suggesting, and I got two this week, suggesting that we have archives. Well, we do. They are in the members area. They're called K-Pods because they are podcasts. That means we have taken the commercials out. Some of the older ones still have the commercial breaks in there, but I don't know, for almost a year now, we've been taking the commercials out before we post them. So they're there, and those of you who would like to have access to the archives, that's where they are. They're in the members area, and it costs you a big grand total of about 23 cents a day, 23 cents to be in the members area. $6.95 a month, it's well worth it. A lot of other stuff in there, too. you know, back in 1997, Phoenix was where we had the big event called the Phoenix Lights, the huge UFO sighting. Well, it hasn't stopped. We're going to be talking about that tonight. Not about the Phoenix Lights, but about the ongoing Phoenix phenomena. We'll be back with Jeff Woolline after this. All around the world, people are very, very familiar with this amazing UFO mass sighting that took place in Phoenix, Arizona back in 1997. In fact, it was so breathtaking that it quickly earned its own moniker. It is called the Phoenix Lights. Well, the skies over Phoenix were active with UFO sightings long before 1997. And they were recorded in petroglyphs by ancient Native Americans. Not only did these ancient Native Americans record the UFO sightings in these petroglyphs carved into the mountain rocks surrounding Phoenix, the petroglyphs show interaction between those UFOs and those ancient Native Americans. Well, there is one person more than any other who has been dedicated to videotaping the ongoing Phoenix phenomena and researching them in ancient petroglyphs. He's been ridiculed, he's been slandered, and subjected to what I consider to be outrageous public hatred by some miniature jealous wannabes. But he has kept focused and dedicated to his work in spite of all the trash that's been thrown his direction. Jeff Woolline is still standing, and the Phoenix phenomena is still happening. Jeff, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Thank you so much. Always an honor to be here.
I think it's important, Jeff, for people to know, for people to understand that the Phoenix phenomena has continued. It continues till this day. As a matter of fact, when I called you at 5 minutes before showtime, which is our practice, 5 minutes before showtime, we call the guest and get them online. And when I called you, what were you doing?
I'm filming UFOs, Kevin.
They're up there now, and Jeff has been videotaping those right up till showtime. Are they still up there at this moment?
Absolutely, yeah. And you know what? That's fascinating. These things seem to like clouds. They're going right into clouds here, and they're kind of hanging around, and sometimes they come out of the cloud, but then sometimes I don't ever see him again, and then all of a sudden another one will appear to the far left of it. So, and this has been going on. I've been watching this stuff for over a month now. Who knows how long it's been going on before I paid attention, but holy cow, I can't believe what is going on over here in Glendale, Arizona, just outside of Phoenix.
Yeah, Glendale, for those who are not familiar with the Phoenix area, is on the northwest side of Phoenix. It is a suburb. It is its own town, and it's really kind of spread out and sprawling. But it runs right into Phoenix on the northwest side. Now, Jeff, this phenomena. One of the things that really interested me about your work is this phenomena that you're videotaping is not new. It's out there. It's been happening for centuries, maybe for thousands of years, right here in this area, and it's recorded in those petroglyphs. And what really interested me about your work is the fact that you sort of connected the dots, and you know, anyone who comes to Phoenix and spends any time and watches the skies, they're going to see strange things in the sky. And if they then go out to South Mountain, or I guess the Australia Mountains as well, and some of the other mountains around Phoenix, you will see petroglyphs carved into the stones, and you will see those same shapes carved into the stones with figures of humans, of people, standing looking at them up in the sky. So this has been going on here for a long time. But recently, there have been some rather, I would say, spectacular displays. Not because, you know, it's some massive Independence Day craft that is parked over Phoenix. That's not the case. But spectacular because it seems right now to be almost daily. It's happening almost every day. You're getting these, for lack of a better term, we'll use the term UFOs. These things in the sky almost every day, and even right up till showtime, right up till right now, it's happening above Phoenix. What's the deal? Well, I guess we lost Jeff.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're kind of breaking up. It sounds good there for a while, and then all of a sudden it breaks up, so I guess I missed it.
Yeah, I was saying, so what's the deal with this, with all of these happening every day?
Wow, you know, it just amazes me on how it's going on every day, and it makes me wonder how long this has been going on. I've been sitting here for a little over a year now, and I think, you know, I have filmed some things out the window here a few times, but nothing compares to this. Boy, I feel like I'm back at the mountain.
and we need to tell people you do not now live right next to South Mountain as you did at one time.
That's correct, yes.
All right, so one of the sort of, it's not a criticism, but one of the statements that I saw getting ready for this show, I watched several videos, is a claim that one company made that, they know what it is you're seeing. And they reported this on the news. They said, well, we launch weather balloons all the time, and that's what he's seeing. Well, when I saw that, I took a bit of your video, and I went looking for video of weather balloons. And so those who are watching on KSS TV will get to see a comparison tonight between the things that you're seeing in the sky and a weather balloon, an actual weather balloon. We'll see what it looks like. And for those who are on radio, I'll describe it for you. And you can see that it is definitely not a weather balloon. But you've really been subjected to a lot of ridicule and criticism, and you've hung in there. I really would like to hear from you what it is that makes you hang in there and keep doing what you're doing in spite of all this ridicule that really only comes from a couple of sources.
I think it's because it's real, Kevin. It's happening. It's here. And I think one day all the critics will look back at the 1997 Phoenix Lights event, and they will know for sure that though what happened that night was not flares, and it was something that more or less has been with us, you know, this whole time, as far as, you know, my understanding goes on this, and as far as the research I've done and the things that I've seen in the sky and on the petroglyphs on the mountains there. Holy cow, we got one, a bright one. See, and I don't understand why people just don't pay attention to this. These things are bright. They're just sitting there, and they're glowing white. okay, and then they disappear. And then sometimes they move across the sky. I'm looking at one right now, Kevin. It's happening over here. Anyone that lives in the Phoenix metro area and the Glendale area, you want to look towards the Australia Mountains. You want to look along that whole mountain range, the whole side of it there, because we have strange lights, white lights you want to look for. They're popping up, moving across the sky, and they're disappearing. So I've been filming this stuff for over a month now. You know, I have so much film on these little white orbs flying all over the sky. It's like I kind of stopped filming them now, and I'm going after photographs because sometimes these things pop up right above the apartment complex. And so when they do, that's the best time to get a photograph. And I tell you what, the photographs and the video, it's like the video kind of distorts what this thing actually looks like. And this thing is like bright, glowing, shining at you, and it's really kind of tough to look at. It's kind of like looking at the sun. It's like that kind of bright. But the camera, when you take a still photograph of it, holy cow, you know, the petroglyphs match this thing, you know, to a T, and I'm just astonished on how it all is put together like this, you know. And it amazes me on how really everybody's driving around and not seeing this, you know. Because mm-hmm. things are kind of up high, and I think, you know, everybody that walks by my house and I say, hey, do you see that light? Oh, then they see it, you know. But if you're not looking for it, you know, you're not going to see it.
Well, most people don't look up. Most people don't even look straight ahead these days. Right. I've commented on this before. Since 9-1-1, it seems like the majority of people, as they walk down the street, will glance at the ground, look at the ground, instead of looking straight ahead. They will not look other people in the eyes. It's as if they are afraid. But the thing is, you have to be looking up in order to see these things. Tell you what I want to do. And by the way, let me say this. Jeff is describing seeing a UFO right now over Phoenix, toward the Australia Mountains. Those of you who are in the Phoenix area and have a view unobstructed toward the Australia Mountains, take a look and see if you see it. And for the rest of the world, let me tell you that it's not dark here, okay? For a lot of you, it's nighttime. Here in Phoenix, it is not dark yet. The sun is going down, but it is not yet nighttime here. So this is a daytime sighting. And those who have an unobstructed view toward the Australia Mountains, take a look, and maybe you'll see it too. Now, one of the things that I want to do, I want to show, for those who are watching on TV, I want to show, this is a video that Jeff took on June the 3rd. This is one of those things in the sky, and you can see this thing very, very clearly. And you can see that it's not a bird, it's not an airplane, it's not a balloon. But what we're going to do next is I'm going to show you a balloon. I'm going to show you a weather balloon. Now, this video of a weather balloon clearly shows the tether that is holding the parachute line and the sensor pack beneath the weather balloon. You can see it very clearly as it flies across the screen. You see the weather balloon. It's very well defined, round, white thing. And you can see the tether under it holding the sensor pack. All right. So you can see, again, we'll go back to Jeff's video. You can see this thing that Jeff shot looks like an orb until he zooms in. And then it sort of has a diamond shape to it. And very definitely not a weather balloon. Now, Jeff, you said that some of these things are white and some of them are red. Is that correct?
Yeah, uh-huh. Most of them that I've been seeing out here, or at least, you know, during the day, they're bright white. Some of them are like pearls. They're like just like marbles, white marbles. And they just sit there and dance around in the sky there, and they sit still, and then they move this way, and they move that way, and then they move down, and then they move over the house, and I don't see them again.
Uh-huh.
And this has been going on for a long time now, for many months. I've been sitting here filming these things, and last night, about 8 o'clock, I had this one orange one. It kind of resembled like the sunset. It was like this bright orange one, and it just popped up right above the house here, and it went west, and it disappeared into the clouds. And that's not the first time. You know, this has been going on. It's like every day now. It's normal now, and it's starting to get a little weird because this isn't normal. You know, I mean, I've been sitting here for a long time now, and I've never seen this much activity here in this spot. You know, in studying the petroglyphs and studying the holocombs, I'm starting to come to the conclusions. Now, there's a map that I found of the ancient holocomb adobe structures. I believe they documented a map in 1920s, I believe it was, when all the adobe structures were still standing and all the canal systems. The holocombs were the best canal systems in the world at that day. And they marked all this stuff down on a map. Now, when I'm looking at this map, I noticed right where this power plant, this electrical power plant, is over on the east side of South Mountain. Now, in studying this map, there's a power plant that sits there today when this was one of the major cities here. I mean, there were so many dots on that map from Indian structures around in that area. It was just crazy. It was the populated spot, apparently, here in the valley, was where that power plant sits today. And this is the exact same spot in 2004 where I was filming red lights doing neat formations over that power plant. Now, studying the power plant and studying these things, I believe that the power plant is bored down into the fault line energy that these mountains have. And in order to use this power plant, they're able to bore down into that gas and generate electricity. Well, when that happens, when that power plant is turned on, it's like McDonald's for these things. Boy, they feed on this energy. And watching them, sometimes they even steam. Boy, they get so much energy, they're just steaming, and they move very, very slowly. And this is one of the reasons why they're getting away with it, is because when people look for UFOs, they're looking for something that darts across the sky this way, or goes that way, or moves this way, and of course you're going to notice that. But if there's a little red dot out there, a little red light, you're going to overlook that stuff. And most of us have. But unless you're looking for it, you're going to notice off the bat. And when you film them and then you speed up the tape, they're moving. They're moving very slowly. And where are they going? They're going right to that power plant there. Now, in studying the map, the 1920s map that they made, I've come to find out that, and studying the holocombs, their type of living, their way of life, their type of religion, they lived next to these things. You know what? When we find a structure, let's say Montezuma's castle, you know, not only was that a good lookout spot for oncoming attackers, but also there's a crack on the side of that wall there, and there's a spiral around that crack. Now, in studying this and seeing this stuff, being a witness to this stuff, these spirals represent doorways for these things, and so that's telling me that they were living. They wanted to get as close as they could to these things. Look at Machu Picchu, all right? That is a major energy spot for UFOs, and there's a little small city there. Same type of deal here. They wanted to live right next to the UFOs. So, in knowing this knowledge, you can look at this map now, and you can actually pinpoint all the doorway energy spots here in the city of Phoenix in the sky by where the adobe structures are.
All right, we have to take a break, Jeff. We'll be back, folks, right after this, and this is a good time to go out and look, see if you see a UFO. We'll be back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Jeff Woolline, and when we went away for break, Jeff, you were talking about these portals, these doorways, And we've talked about those and actually have shown some of those right here on the show, the spiral markings. And for those who are members, if you haven't seen those and you're a member of our Kevin Smith Show members area, all you have to do is go log in as a member, go over to the Video Galaxy, click on Video Galaxy, take a look. You will see a couple of videos in there having to do with this subject. One of them is Jeff Woolline's production. One of them is my production, and it's called Ancient Energy and Petroglyphs. And, Jeff, yours is the Seven Cities of Cibola, I believe, right?
Yes,
Yeah. And so both of those are in there, and you'll see these spiral markings. But now let me ask you this. You said earlier that you have never seen this much activity. Why do you think we're seeing this much?
I'm sorry, could you ask that? I missed the last. I'm watching an orb right now, and I'm filming them.
Okay. Why do you think we're seeing this much activity?
You know, I think it has everything to do with, you know, we'll go back on 2012. This is the only logical thing that I can come up with because, you know, when I was growing up in this city, I was born and raised here all my life, you know, and you would think that if UFOs were normal here, then we wouldn't be talking about it right now. You see, so things are escalating. Things are really picking up here. And when you're studying this stuff, you have to go with these people that dealt with these things before in the past. And you have to really take what they say to heart, man, and not look at this as myth and maybe look at this as possibly, you know, a fact that this could be what is really going on. And it tells you, the calendar says that this flying serpent, okay, is going to return. Well, what have I been filming over there on South Mountain and what flew over our heads on Easter Sunday of last year? I mean, there are snakes. Jaime Masson in Mexico, clearly, if you scan the YouTube channel there for Mexico UFOs, oh my, you've got worms, you've got creatures, you don't have things from, like, in spaceships from outer space. No, this is something completely different. And when you study this calendar, okay, something that I'm in the works of, I'm going to let your audience know what I'm working on here. As soon as things cool down, I'm going to explain on something that I've learned with this calendar. Now, when they use the calendar symbols, they change the symbols a lot, okay? They actually morph. So some symbols would actually mean the same, like the would be a turtle, but then a turtle would change and have a hat, for instance, right? But it would still be, you know, that. It would still be what it's named. Exactly what these things are doing. What are these things doing? They're changing. They're morphing. They're shape-shifting. So what if the Mayans got their alphabet from these creatures in the sky morphing, transforming, and making words? What if they're communicating this way by morphing into symbols?
Well, now that's something I had not thought of. It's something I had not considered before. What's happening right now on KSS-TV, as you're talking about these things morphing, is people are seeing the video that you shot, that you just mentioned, on Easter Sunday this year, of this thing changing shapes in the sky. So yeah. People are getting to see that.
That's wonderful. That's great. That's awesome. You know, and I just think that, you know, I mean, eventually, everyone is going to see these things, and I really believe that the reason why that we're seeing so many is, you know, the Mayan calendar says that 2010, oh boy, I think everyone's going to know UFOs are real, going to know these things are here, because that's what that calendar says, man. That's
2010?
Excuse me?
You said 2010?
In 2010, yeah, that's when it seems according to Jaime Musan's research and the things I've been following him and stuff, he seems to think, and I would agree, just from watching these things, 2010 is going to be hot. Going to be smoking full of UFOs. And I think it's going to escalate. It's going to continue until it reaches, you know, 2012. And it says that, you know, that's when this Quetzalcoatl guy, the flying serpent god, will come back. Now, there's a lot of conflicting stories on that. But from what I'm seeing, what I'm filming, you know, my logical explanation is this is his army. What we're seeing now, these phoenix lights and these flying snakes and little white orbs flying around, that's nothing. There is still more yet unseen things left in these mountains here that have yet to come out. And if the petroglyphs talk about a lizard guy and show a lizard man, and what I'm seeing in the sky verifies some of these symbols that match the rock out here, then just because I haven't seen a lizard guy yet doesn't mean it's not true. I really believe that everything on that mountain is photographs. It's photographs of history of what went on here. And it tells a completely different story from what we were led to believe from in creation of mankind. So this goes back thousands. This goes back to the dawning of mankind. You know, when you ask the Indians here, they will tell you, well, you know, these lizard people, they live here, and how our people met them is we didn't know how to live here. So these things came up and taught us. Okay, so we have to reflect on that, all right? We have to understand this, all right? Just as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the time of the end. Let's remember that. And let's remember that these things, look, how long have these things been flying around? Dr. Lin documented a photograph in 1995, a nice pyramid over the city of Phoenix. That was the very first documentation, very good evidence we got was when these things were happening, when everyone started seeing them in 1995. In 1997 rolled around, everybody saw them.
So, what do you think? Do you think this is like a precursor?
I lost my point. I was looking at a light out there in the sky. Now it's gone.
Do you think this is a precursor of the coming of Quetzalcoatl?
Right. You know, this is just the beginning. There's still a lot of things left under there, and so let's remember. You know, okay, well. These things have been flying around, and they have not yet. I mean, sure, I think in a way I've made a little contact with these things. Boy, these things are flying over my head now ever since I went to the mountain. It's like I don't even need to go to the mountain anymore, and there's one in the sky. So, and clearly I go up and I talk to them, and I ask them to see them, and that helps a lot. You know, that's something that is true, that the archaeologist wants to leave as myth, that these are magical symbols, and that if you communicate them, that has the power to invoke them. He blows that off. I tried it. It worked. several times. Okay, so we have to ask ourselves, well, how come these things haven't came down and landed on the White House lawn and says, here, we're here. We're here to help you. We're here to cure AIDS. We're here to cure cancer. You see, well, how come they haven't come down yet? What is going on? Why are these things flying around? And I think until we find this out, we must pose these things as a threat because we have no idea what their intentions are. And let me give you a theory on what I think it is.
All right.
As I said before, when the Indians got here, these things taught them. Okay, so I believe that it's going to go back to that. I believe one day mankind will go back to these holy mountains for help and guidance from these beings, from the Phoenix Lights. I believe whatever is going to happen will happen to man. Two-thirds of man, some of these scrolls, says that man will be wiped out. And there won't be any water, there won't be any food, but there's going to be somebody there that's going to help man out, okay? And I believe that it's going to be one of these Phoenix Lights. I think whatever is going to happen, now the calendar talks about a pole shift in 2012, look at how everything's escalating. This could be the reason why these UFOs are popping up so bad here in Phoenix is because maybe North Korea is getting ready to do something. We really have to look at what is going on in the world as far as why are the UFOs reacting. You know, some of these Indian legends says, and some of the scrolls says that man was too noisy, so the spirits got upset and got together and they caused a flood to wipe them out because man was noisy. Well, heck, look, there wasn't very many people back then. Now look at what it is now. I think it's time to be quiet. I think we're upsetting these things, okay? And I think the reason why we're seeing so many UFOs is because the world is escalating, is getting overpopulated again, and things are going on. We're looking at nuclear wars here now, man, you know? So I think something is going to happen, and there won't be any food, there won't be any water, but yet they're going to see the Phoenix Light. And one's going to come down, and he's going to turn himself into a man, just like what these petroglyphs show, and say, I'm here to help you. Worship me. Do what I want. Look at their history. I'm finding altars out here. Now look at the Mayans when they say, well, they're doing sacrifice over here for the gods. Here, the gods are the Phoenix Lights. The gods are what they're filming today, those flying worms, those flying things flying all over the sky. That's the Mayan gods. That's exactly what they're talking about. So if they're here to help us, why do they want sacrificing of our blood? So I think the reason the government isn't talking about this is because this is not a good thing. This is something that was meant not to be told. And if it was a good thing, the government would be all over it. But yet they're not. They're just watching like everybody else because they can't do anything about it. All they can do is sit, watch, and monitor. And I think when one of these things, now the Indians say, because, you know, you ask them, well, what happened? The stories say, well, the devil came from the east and took these people away because the sacrificing had stopped. And when you look at these petroglyphs, it shows these barbell or these bowl things or these circle donut-looking things with this line, this little stick line, and he's picking up people by their heads. So that goes in conclusion with the story. And now we're seeing the things on the petroglyphs in the sky, which even in my mind confirms the rest of the story. So I think what we're dealing with here is something, look at what I'm filming. Kind of scary. It is. I mean, I don't think the Brady Bunch is ready for this yet.
What are you seeing, Jeff?
Holy cow. Look at some of this, like that flying humanoid, the flying worms. One morning, I saw an orb go down, and I went out there, and I investigated. I said, what do you guys look like? February 2nd, what was it, 2005, a black-looking spider flew right by my window as to say, here's what I look like, man. And that's not a good video of this thing.
And we need to say that people can go to your channel over at YouTube, and you've got tons of videos over there showing this stuff. I also need to say, for those who are watching on KSS TV, I need to say that each and every time we have Jeff on the show, we get outside help. Someone interrupts the broadcast. So you've been unaware of this, Jeff, but the broadcast, the video feed has been going off and on and off and on. Not here. It's staying on right here. There's not anything we're doing different here, but someone out there is interrupting the feed off and on. And, you know, there's nothing I can do to prevent that. But it happens each and every time you're on this show.
That's interesting, too. You know, that kind of goes along with some of my YouTube videos. I have in my mail or whatever on my screen when I look at my videos on YouTube, which is on YouTube, petroglyphsinthesky.com, by the way.
You got 10 seconds till break.
I got this little red little link here. It says that some countries are not permitted to show this video. So they're screening some of my stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know what countries it is.
Yeah, it would be interesting to know what countries are screening that out and not allowing it. All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. And for those of you watching on video, I guess we'll be back and we'll be back and we'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Jeff Woolline. And we're talking about this ongoing mystery in the skies above Phoenix, Arizona. It is something that continues to this very day. As a matter of fact, just before the show, Jeff spotted a UFO over Phoenix in the direction of the Australia Mountains, which is southwest of Phoenix, and has been videotaping UFO activity throughout the show. And as I said just a few minutes ago, each and every time Jeff is on this show, we get outside interference trying to interrupt the show, and that's been going on this evening. Jeff, are you still seeing something up over over Phoenix?
You know, I haven't in about 10 minutes now. I saw that one splash of light there, and then it's gone. So that seems to be, today they're seeming like sticking around a little bit longer, but this last week it's been like a hit and miss. You know, they pop in, let you know they're there, and then pop out, so...
When you say they pop in, what do you mean by that?
Well, it's like I show it there on most of the videos there on how it's like somebody with a switch on the wall and just go over there and turn on that light switch and then up pops this light in the sky. That's pretty much how it happens. And either they move or they'll sit there and they'll get really, really bright. And then they'll go really, 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 really dim, and then they'll go away. Either that, or they'll move across the sky and get bright, and then they'll go, and then they'll go away. Or either that, they'll go bright and then pop away, go away, poof, gone, and then pop up on the other side of the sky.
Now, some of them are morphing into other shapes, too, aren't they?
Well, you know what? The ones I'm seeing out here, Kevin, Dana, I don't believe so. They're not morphing. They're, like, staying pretty much solid shape. And for anyone that doesn't understand what they're looking at, you know, they're going to call it a ship. But when you take photographs, okay, because the video really doesn't do it justice. The video's got all that pixelation and distortion. But when you have them pop up over your right above you and you get a photograph of it, it's, like, completely different. It's like a circle within a circle. Some of them even look like eyeballs, you know? They look like eyeballs.
This one that you have that, as you zoom in on it, sort of looks diamond-shaped, what you're saying is that if you take just a still photograph, that's not a diamond shape?
Oh, that one, that. Yeah, when they go into diamonds like that, you know, that's hard. That's when they're right here, right close. And you know what? And some of them even look like they grow wings out from the side of it, I noticed.
Hmm.
You know, those are, and then some of them look like cookies. Those do seem to change. But the ones that mostly that are flying around right here anyway, I mean, they're like little lights and they're flying around and they're eyeballs. I don't know. So...
Now, in previous appearances on this show, you have said that you think that these are living entities as opposed to being some type of craft that was built.
That's correct. You know, when I first got into this, you know, I was thinking like everybody else, a big spacecraft went over Phoenix and everybody saw it, but where's the video? We only got four videos, and so that's neat, so let's go see some technology from another planet. So I got my camera into gear, and I started seeing them, and I chased them, and I followed them, and I studied them, and I walked away from this going, holy cow, it's not a spaceship at all.
Yeah, but now, in fairness, Jeff, there exists a video that is from, it was shown at the MUFON conference, and it's a UFO that was over Phoenix, I forget the date. And you can very clearly see the craft, and you can see lights on the craft.
Yeah, and, is that that fuzzy one that you're talking about there?
No, it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear. And so, you know, I don't think that we can say that these things are the only things. I think there probably are craft because there are videos of them.
Here's the deal. I see these petroglyphs out there, and they're dots, they're circles with dots, and they have lines, and they actually connect together. For instance, like a barbell would, and then we have many weights, okay? And watching these things and filming them, sometimes these lines, they come out of them. And I've had one that come out be about 35, 40 feet long when he was done. This line, this cord came right out of him. And I've seen him when this black serpent goes up to this white orb. The white orb shoots this line, this silver line, at this black serpent as to say to get back into formation, and he does in the sky. So I think, you know, I'd really have to study and look at that. And
well, you can. All you have to do is go to YouTube and type in UFOs over Phoenix. UFOs over Phoenix. You'll find it. It's a MUFON video, and you can very clearly, very definitely see that it is a craft of some kind.
Well, here's one thing that you want to look for. All government airplanes and spy satellites and all this stuff, they were not satellites, but these spy airplanes and stealth airplanes, they all have these anti-collision lights on them, this red light blinking or a green or some kind of...
Yeah, well, this does not have that.
Right, so that's something that you want to look out for.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, there are lots and lots of videos from around the world where you can see very clearly that you're looking at some type of craft. So, you know, I think there's every possibility that these things that you're photographing and that you're videotaping may be living entities. I think there's probably a good case for that. I don't think that excludes these others that are out there that are craft. You know, if let's say that an extraterrestrial, the very first extraterrestrial to ever come to Earth and find humans. I know it didn't happen that way, but let's say it did. So he finds humans, and those humans happen to be black. So he goes back to his home planet, and they say, well, what did you find? He said, well, I found these creatures there. They're somewhat intelligent. They seem to communicate. They fight each other a lot. Well, what do Earth people look like? Well, they're black. Well, you and I know that that's only part of the truth. Some Earth people are black. Some are white. Some are brown. Some are red. You know, and so we're, you know, maybe let's say that it wasn't, that they didn't encounter a black person. Let's say they landed in China. Okay? So Asian features would be predominant in China. They go back to their home planet, and they draw a picture of a being with these Asian features, and they say, that's what Earth people look like. Well, that's what Earth people look like in China. But that isn't what they look like in England. You see what I'm saying? So I think, you know, that when we look at these videos of these things that are coming out of these mountains, and I've seen these things myself, and I know they don't look like craft. And they behave as if they are intelligent. They behave as if they are intelligent entities. I've seen them myself. But I don't think we can say that's the whole story, because there are videos even taken by military around the world that show craft. Did I lose you?
Nope, I filmed the craft once. The space shuttle flew over my house.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but, you know, now if you haven't seen a craft that you would call a UFO, okay, you haven't. But thousands and thousands of people have. And a lot of those people have never seen these entity things that you videotape.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And so they might say, oh, well, wool iron's all wet. They're not entities. You know, UFOs are craft. Well,
you know what? I believe that it's very possible that there is another planet just like Earth. And I believe solely in that. I think there's another race of people, just like Earth, somewhere in this great, huge galaxy that we have. And I would agree with you on that. What's to say, if they're just a little bit more advanced, that they were able to make this ship, you know, and come visit our planet? Sure. You know, sure. I could agree with that.
All right, we have to take a break. When we come back from this break, we will open the telephone lines for all of you folks around the world. And we'll open the flash message line as well. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jeff Woolline. We started off this show with a bang. He was videotaping a UFO over the Phoenix area as the show began. And we encountered lots and lots of interference as well. But at the moment, I think everything is probably going okay. I expect there will be more interference. We're going to open up the telephone line for you. The telephone is 480-553-7232. 480-553-7232. And hopefully somebody in the Phoenix area stepped outside and could see what Jeff was videotaping. If you had a clear line of sight toward the Australia Mountains, then perhaps you saw that. But call us and let us know. Please think about this. I get email every day. Now, this is not something new, and I'm not trying to stop it, but I want you to think about this. As I like to get your email, so don't stop it. But I get email from people who watch the show or listen to the show and then send me an email and say, well, if that's true, then what about this? And if that's true, then what about that? Well, you know, the person you have to ask is the guest. You have to ask the guest. Because I'm the host of the show. The guest is the one with the information. So 480-553-7232. If you're outside of the United States and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message, and you do that by going over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Just scroll down. You'll see the link that says flash message. And all you have to do is click that link and send me a flash message, and it'll begin to flash on my screen over here, and then I know that it has come in. If you're in the USA or you're in Canada, please use the telephone, all right? 480-553-7232. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Deb from Columbus.
Okay, Deb, speak directly into your telephone. You sound like you're very far away.
Yeah, I'm speaking into it. I have to talk to you on my cell phone. We don't have long distance at the house.
All right.
Thanks for having Jeff on again. I've been hoping to hear from him. I just want to ask Jeff, has he seen any new shapes in the sky as he's been looking out from South Mountain?
Any new shapes?
Yeah.
As far as these lights go, I'd have to say no. It's pretty much the typical, worms and just lights. We have been catching a lot of Phoenix lights over here on the west part of the valley. So it's like an everyday thing over here. They're very low. They're hanging out by the mountains, and we got some airplanes chasing them. But as far as anything different, I don't think I've seen anything that I haven't seen before yet.
Okay.
Okay, Deb, thanks for the call.
Great question. Thank you so much.
What do you think the deal is with these different shapes? I mean, some of them take on, one of them to me sort of looks like a caricature of a turtle.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them look like a serpent, or you know, like this long white tube, and it's straight, and then it goes into a V shape, and then it kind of curls around. And you know, what's the deal with all the different shapes? Are these actually different types of entities, do you think, or are these just the same entities taking different shapes for some reason?
You know, doing the research and studying this and looking at the rock art and the mountains and the doorways and stuff, these big cracks down the sides, these big valleys that we have along the mountains here, excuse me, if we got petroglyphs and spirals on this crevice here, on this huge crack, the Indians are considering that a doorway for these things. So we have many different canyons, many different cracks through the mountains, and when you study the rock art, you find a spiral, and then you'll see like this T-cross, you know, the petroglyphs, they portray a story of this T-cross that's in it. And then you go about a mile down, you find another huge crack in the side of the mountain, and you find some petroglyphs, and here it's like a snake. It's like a flying snake or something that the Indians are dealing with. So I think what we're dealing with here is the same type of entity, but like different races. For instance, one crack is the flying snake, is the humanoid or whatever, and then the next crack is the flying cross. So
it would be sort of like humans. We're all humans, but we come in different shapes, sizes, and colors.
From what I've learned, right, these things, that's their home. They live in these mountains. The Indians go up on the mountains in the movies and they talk to spirits. Well, they're talking to the Phoenix Lights, as far as I'm concerned. They're talking to these things because this is where these things live, and they've always been here.
Okay, let's go back to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hey,
Hi.
What's going on there, Bob?
How's it going,
Jeff?
How's it going, Kevin?
I am doing well.
Hey, I was enjoying the show. I guess I always get fascinated by some of the actual stories that the pictographs on the rocks tell. I've been out there a couple times, and I noticed that what we don't speak a lot about is how a lot of those were blown up. You know, and some of these things that we're reading are slabs that are halfway falling down a hill. Apparently there was, I don't know if it was either mining or they're trying to cover up a lot of different things, but apparently there's so much stuff written on there that I thought to give a good example of some of the interesting stories that were written on there, if you could talk a little bit about the multiple armed men that had buried the swords for some kind of a cataclysm.
Right.
Nice to see you, Jeff. Good luck, Kevin, with the health, and love the show. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Bob.
Right on, bud.
All right, what about these multiple armed men that buried swords?
Yeah, that was Bob from California, and he came down here to Phoenix here, and I took him up, and we did a tour. And so he's talking about that main picture that I like to use that shows the humanoid, okay? It's like this snake, okay, and he's like half snake, and he's got a head, and he's got these arms, and he's in the sky. And when you look under him, like when you look below him, you see these other stick figure guys, and here they have four arms, and they have this magical, like, staff, this weapon, if you will. And the artist even portrays it as he's shooting bullets or something, energy, out of this staff. Now, this is interesting because when we study the Viamatis in India, the story seems to coexist with what's over here. Look at their gods over there. Look how many arms they have and things. And then,
okay, but what about the buried swords? We have somebody on hold right now.
Right.
Caller, just hang on. What about the buried swords?
Well, according to legend, there was a galactic battle here against the forces of good and the forces of evil. Now, the petroglyphs show the Indians here shooting bows and arrows at these things in the sky, along with this other race, with this other alien race that had four arms and this magical staff. And some of these races is actually shooting at a dinosaur, okay? He's shooting at a dinosaur. And the story goes that they use to conquer these things, these Phoenix Lights. They put them back in the ground here somehow, and they buried their weapons in the tombs for their time of return because they knew that one day they would have to come back and reuse them. So, and that's the story over there in India, and you really have to look at the story over here in Phoenix because it seems to match. So not only do we have tombs out here that are, have gold idols and such in it, but we could be also be looking at possible a crystal skull. I wouldn't put that past it. I'm sure there's probably a crystal skull buried here somewhere in the mountains, and these magical weapon staves.
All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Avi from New Jersey.
Hi, Avi.
Hi. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Thanks for calling.
Hey, awesome show tonight, and last night was very interesting as well. I just had a quick question, and then I'll take the answer off the air. I know you've seen a lot of different kinds of Petroglyph-type ships flying up over there and tonight as well. What's the closest one that you've seen? Do they ever come close? Thanks.
Woo! Oh, yeah. Oh, my. I think that turtle that Kevin was talking about, boy, you know, he was just right above the power line there, and he just swooped in and flew right by the window, and he was headed to some palm trees, and I thought he was going to collide in with the palm trees, and as I was moving the camera out of the way, I was looking at him from my dead eyes, and he went up over the palm tree and went a zigzag right in front of me and started heading over towards the mountain. So I would have to say anywhere from 40 feet to 50 feet, maybe as far as maybe 75 to 100, I guess. But they were really close. When I had one over in New York, that was very close. Maybe, oh my gosh, 100 feet maybe? I don't know. But that was something that really changed my outlook on things. But yeah, they have gotten fairly close.
The telephone number, folks, is 480-553-7232. If you're in the USA or Canada, please use that telephone number. Now, if you're outside of the USA and outside of Canada, you can use our flash message feature by going to my website, click on the link that says flash message, and that way you can participate in the show without having to pay any international long distance. From the United Kingdom, Stephen writes, just wanted to say thanks for your work. Much respect, Steve in London. Okay, Steve, thank you much.
Cool.
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. That means a lot.
Mm-hmm. Now, the story about these weapons. Mm-hmm. Now, when I went out on the mountain with you, you showed me a petroglyph that shows the guy with the staff shooting something at these other beings.
Mm-hmm.
And what came to my mind is a weapon that is in a fictional television show called Stargate One and Stargate Atlantis, SG-1.
Yeah.
And where I think it's the Teal'c carries it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a staff that's got a little bulb head on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he points it at something, and by some means, I don't know how, shoots a ball of light out, and it either will kill or stun whatever it hits.
Isn't it interesting on how Hollywood puts things together as far as fact and fiction? I think Hollywood, they really tell you, you know, about these things, but they portray it as it's sci-fi, or they portray it as, you know, it's just a story, it's just a movie, you know. But where did they get that story in the first place from? You know, where did it come from originally? Well, chances are it probably came from a Native American myth or some myth in India where it talks about Vyamanis and UFOs. Hey, let's make a TV series out of it.
Well, you know, an interesting sort of angle on this, talking about Hollywood, every once in a while, someone will make the statement, you know, to someone like you or me, you know, we talk about UFOs, we talk about strange things in the sky and so forth, and they'll say, oh, you've just been watching too much Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what they think is that we're getting our idea from Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Star Trek and not just Star Trek, but X-Files and Star Wars and SG-1. It's these science fiction writers that are getting their ideas from the ancients. They're getting their, at least it certainly appears that way. They're getting their ideas from places like the ancient petroglyphs and then ancient writings and so forth. And they're building a show that they call sci-fi. But what is happening is they're sort of putting on screen a living version of what's in the petroglyphs.
You know, when I heard as Independence was being filmed that there were certain parts to the alien that the government wouldn't permit, so they had to rewrite the whole script on the aliens and what they look like, I thought that was kind of interesting.
No, wait a minute. I had not heard this. You're saying that when Independence Day was being filmed, they had to change the way the alien looked because the government would not permit them to show...
That's correct. Yeah, that's something that I read through the grapevine there. So as the movie was being released, I remember hearing or reading something about it as they had to stop it and change some things because the government didn't approve whatever it was, and it had something to do with the aliens. So they had to redo all the whole aliens on that. So, but that was kind of interesting.
Well, now see, there's a case where you had the aliens in Independence Day living inside of this sort of bio shell,
mm-hmm.
and then their craft seemed to be alive as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think what really matches what's going on here in Phoenix and around the world is what's that one movie, Starship Troopers, where the bugs being invaded by bugs?
I don't guess I've seen that one.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what's going on here. You know, these things are, you know, like little green guys and stuff, man. They're blobs. They're shapeshifters. They're some kind of supernatural, you know, creature. So that's the only thing that I can, you know, explain on what these things are is I don't believe that there's no technology involved here. And I even think, because I got a lot of people commenting on my YouTube, you know, oh, you should shoot it down. You know, I don't think the bullets would even hurt this thing. You know, if they're able to come and go from trees and rocks and stuff, then I don't think a bullet or whatever we're going to have is going to be able to stop this. You know, so whatever is going on, the government has its hands full, that's for sure.
A thought passed through my mind, and I was going to ask you a question, and the thought just kept right on riding away. So now I don't know what it was. But that happens when you get to be an old guy like me, so... All right, now, I remember. The video that you have of the sky worm or sky snake or whatever it is that you videotaped back on Easter,
mm-hmm.
this past Easter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I meant to say this earlier, but I didn't, so I'll say it now. NASA, there is a video that was shot from the space shuttle where NASA astronauts videotaped something that looks exactly like that,
mm-hmm.
squirming around in the very high upper atmosphere of Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it looks just like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we see those worms. They're everywhere. So I even had one, I think it's on my YouTube. It was on Petroglyphs in the Sky where this thing actually, it looked like an eight-legged spider, and it's flying over the globe. So that was pretty interesting. I think it's on YouTube now. I think I made a YouTube video on that, so you might want to look on my videos.
Now, you know, in this video that you shot, there is an airplane flying over. It looks like it's laying down a chemtrail.
Yeah. You know,
was that a contrail or a chemtrail?
Well, you know, that's hard to say. You know, we have Sky Harbor, but it wasn't coming from Sky Harbor. It was clearly on a path, you know. It was already up in the sky and stuff. So, you know, watching these things and watching them spray the mountain out there, holy cow, I watched them do a chemtrail spraying on that south mountain there, and before it was all done, I couldn't even see the mountain, and I lived only a mile away from it. I mean, that's how foggy it got. And watching these things and seeing these things go into clouds and not come out of clouds, you know? And the chemtrails are going on now over there in this area where UFOs are. So, you know, what if it's a type of... Maybe, what if they're feeding these things? At first, maybe I thought it was like a deterrent, or maybe it was some kind of spray, you know, to get rid of these UFOs.
Yeah, but maybe what they're doing is actually attracting them.
I think so. I think exactly that now, because I've been watching these things. They go right into these chemtrails now.
Wow. Let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Mike. I'm from Coral Springs, Florida.
Hi, Mike. Are you a first-time caller?
No, second time. I forgot to tell you the last time I was on, Kevin.
Oh, well, you know, you didn't get your applause the first time, no. So you get them now. Okay?
No golf clap.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Quick question, Jeff. Have you seen on any of the petroglyphs you've looked at or talked to any members of the local Indian tribes, have you seen any triangular-shaped craft or boomerang-shaped craft that you see so much of in the skies?
You know, I won't go as far as it being a craft, but what I did see is a cluster of them 3 days before March 13th, the anniversary of March 13th. I think it was 2007, I can't remember a couple years ago. Actually, this year, I think it was, last year. Anyway, I was getting ready to do a news report, and I know when you go up to a certain spot, and if you talk to these things, you will see them. And so I was trying to prepare it, and I was trying to get it ready. I was thinking, you know what, you guys, we're going to have the news here, man. Wouldn't it be cool if you guys show up on the date of March 13th? And as I'm talking this, as I'm doing this, I looked up, and I saw a cluster of orbs. And there must have been about 8, 9 of them, I guess, maybe 10. And first they were a cluster, and then they spread. They did the spread of the Phoenix Lights. They did this arch. And it was up there for a little while, and I tried to get the camera out and going, but I couldn't see it in the viewfinder, so I just let them go. But as far as, you know, anything to that matter, you know, yeah, I have seen them go into a formation like that.
Yeah, but have you seen triangular-shaped ones?
Have you seen them on the petroglyphs? That's what I'm asking.
Oh, yeah. Well, I see, you know, and if they're connected together, then they're more of like a straight line. Like barbells would be. In a triangular pattern would be circles in a triangular pattern. I believe that there might be this one petroglyph that the lines come from one circle to another circle to another circle. So it could be a pyramid in that way being connected. But like
yeah,
I said,
see, what I'm trying to figure out is, in my mind, are these triangular craft or these boomerang-shaped craft, are they... Black ops projects, or are they extraterrestrial interdimensional crap? Because basically we haven't started seeing these till like the late 60s or 70s. If they go back much further than that, then that's proof that these things maybe are something else other than black ops projects.
Well, here's the thing. I went into this expecting to see a craft, and I came out of it videotaping creatures that did formation of a craft. And in my opinion, you know, this isn't technology here. This isn't extraterrestrial. This is interterrestrial. These things are here among us the whole time. If you read some of these ancient scrolls, they talk about watchers, you know, the watchers in the sky and things like this. You know, it's because they live here, and I don't believe that it's technology at all. I've seen them. When they go into the rocks there and when they come out, they're like a ghost, okay? They're like a spirit. You can see through them. And as they ascend up into the sky, then they start to take more shape, become more solid, and sometimes they even grow arms and tentacles and legs and things. So, and the petroglyph shows. The petroglyph shows like this lizard guy, or this lizard coming out of a spiral, and as he is, the artist portrays him as dots, as you're looking at his spirit, at a ghost.
Yeah, it looks kind of misty.
Yes, exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And
we have to take a break, Jeff. Caller, thank you so much for the call, and we'll be back, folks, right after this. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Our telephone number is 480-555-7232. 480-553-7232. If you're in the USA or Canada, please use that phone number. If you're outside of the USA and Canada, the number will work if you wish to call us, and from time to time, people do call us from around the world, and we're always delighted to receive your call. But if you don't wish to make an international long-distance call, you can use our flash message feature. And you do that by going to my website and scroll down, and you will see a link that says flash message. My website, my web address is kevinsmithshow.com. All right. Jeff, we have from the United Kingdom a flash message that says, if these craft are living creatures, could we use the term macrobiology to describe the study of it? Michael Tsarian mentioned something about this. What do you think?
Well, could you repeat that again?
All right. If they're living creatures, could we use the term macrobiology to describe the study of them?
Well, I do think that they eventually... It's hard to say if they're biological. You know, I've never seen one bleed before. So, it's really, really hard to say. So,
So maybe they're just energy.
Yeah. You know, it's like... It's just really hard to explain. You know, it's like they're there 1 minute and then they're not. You know what I mean? And they're solid and then they're see-through, you know? And so it's really hard to capture or to understand what it is unless it's standing in front of you, I guess, you know? Even then, I don't think that we'd be able to... You know, I think this has something to do with quantum mechanics. You know, I think this
sometimes these things appear in the sky and they look misty and like that sky worm that I've shown that video two or three times here tonight. It looks like it could be a cloud, except it keeps its shape, keeps its size, and it does change shape, but it's... It looks like a tube of cloud, and then it bends and becomes a V shape. At one point, before it becomes earlier in that video, and I didn't show this part, so folks, you'll have to go over to YouTube and see this. But earlier in that video, this thing looks like it could be a blimp with a tail at the back sticking up. And then it continues to change its shape, and it continues to morph into this V shape. And, so maybe the thing is just energy. But on the other hand, I've also seen them above Phoenix that become a shiny, like metal. They look like they're metallic.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's what they kind of look like here when they're in the sky. They're like bright, glowing metal things.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe they're biology and maybe they're something else.
Could be half and half. You know, they could transform into that, you know, as they're shape-shifting, as they're morphing. Maybe all their organs and stuff is going along with it, you know?
So maybe they can become physical.
Mm-hmm.
But would it be biology? That's a good question. That's a very good question. All right, the telephone number is 480-553-7232. 480-553-7232. Or you can send me a flash message. Just go to my website and click on the link that says flash message. In order for us to read your flash message, In most cases, in order for us to even get it, it has to originate outside the USA or Canada. But in order for us to read it, it does have to originate outside of the USA or Canada. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Steve from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Steve. Are you a first-time caller?
I sure am.
Oh, well, we've got to give you your applause here. All right. Steve, what's on your mind this evening?
Well, I'm kind of new to all these, to your podcast and to paranormal podcasts in general.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Well, let me correct something. This is not a podcast. This is absolutely live.
Oh, well, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'd like to go back to when your guest was talking about the pictographs featuring a four-armed entity or man or alien or extraterrestrial. And I was wondering, I heard on another, this was a podcast, on another show, not yours, about... something about a cavern discovered around the turn of around 1902 or something like that in the Grand Canyon that mm-hmm. had supposedly had a Hindu-esque deity with multiple arms, and it looked like a barracks with spears and other weapons stockpiled there. Do you think that's related, or do you think, has your guest ever heard of that?
Oh, yes. I've talked to... some of the archaeologists that think beyond the box here, and they've admitted that they found Egyptian sculptures in the Grand Canyon, in this cave, and that they pulled out Egyptian sculptures from Egypt. And also, the Indians talk about there's a sacred cave inside the Grand Canyon somewhere that supposedly... tradition says is where man originally came from, and apparently that government law there has blocked off the cave and no one can enter it, because no one, apparently the myth and the superstition is no one is holy enough to go into this cave. So yes, there is something there, and they have pulled things that don't belong there out of the Grand Canyon. So
And let me add to that that I have had on this show Jerry Wills of Expeditions TV, and Jerry did an expedition to locate this cave, and they did locate it. He sent two of his expedition team members over the side of the cliff. They had to go down about 1,400 feet. And they actually did go into the cave. But that area above the cave is now blocked off. And you can't even, you cannot get to the area where he did the expedition.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. So I've never seen any video on it. I've just read stories and heard legends on it. So
do you think it's related to what we're seeing in these petroglyphs around the Phoenix area?
Absolutely. You know what? In studying these petroglyphs and studying the art and then reflecting on some of the art within the whole Southwest,
mm-hmm.
you know, some of this art looks like the same artist carved it. And so the rock art here and the interpretations of these mythical creatures, if you will, isn't just concealed within Phoenix. This goes all over the West Coast, okay? Everywhere that we find petroglyphs, at least the older ones. Now, there are some newer petroglyphs where it does show a guy on a horse and he's shooting a buffalo, right? We're not talking about those petroglyphs. We're talking about the ones where they show weird-looking things and things above their heads and diamonds and barbells and things like that. That would explain not only Phoenix, but the whole Southwest.
Yeah, so that's true.
Same story.
Caller, you said your name is Steve?
Yes.
Steve, thanks for the call.
Hey, really appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much.
The telephone, folks, is 480-553-7232. 480-553-7232. Now, folks who are not familiar with this area, and look, a whole lot of folks right here in the United States of America are not familiar with what's in the Southwest. Out here in the Southwest, there are very, very ancient drawings and very ancient remains of structures. And these things show very odd depictions. And what's even more odd is if you watch the skies, you'll see a lot of those same shapes appearing in the skies. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Rick from Kentucky.
Hi, Rick.
Jeff, I thought of something interesting when we were talking about it possibly being biological instead of a solid object. I've flown in and out of Sky Harbor, and that's one of the busiest airports I've been in, other than Dallas, maybe Chicago. It would seem that if these things were solid, they would be picking them up on radar.
Right. You know, I get a lot of conflicting stories. You know, some stories say, yeah, we're getting them on radar. And then in other stories, it's like, no, we didn't see them on radar. So it's really conflicting. And because, you know, I'm not up there, I don't have the radar when these things happen. It's like, I really don't know. But from people who talk about UFOs and say that, you know, well, we saw a blip on the radar, you know, or then again, we've got pilots that say, well, we didn't have any blips. We didn't have anything on radar, you know. So
interesting. They may actually be able to morph from one to the other.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, they can. I've seen them go from one side of the city all the way clear across the valley in seconds yeah. flat.
Let me tell both of you something I saw several years ago, and I talked about it on this show. Jeff, you may remember that several years ago I used to live right next to South Mountain. I mean, you go out the back door and you're one block away from South Mountain. And I was in the backyard sitting beside the swimming pool and having a glass of iced tea, and I saw what looked like a 727. A Boeing 727. It had no markings on it. And it flew without any sound whatsoever over the mountain. And it was flying toward the west. And as it, I guess it probably was maybe 5 miles past me, it stopped and hovered.
Oh.
It just sat there. And I watched it sit there, and I brought other people out in the backyard to look at it. And it sat there for probably 3 minutes, and then it moved on. We have to take a break, and we'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jeff Woolline, and we are on Final Approach. That means we only have a few minutes left. We have time for one more quick call at 480-553-7232. So if you've been trying to get through, the telephone line is clear now. And if you've been sitting there sweating bullets, trying to get up the courage to call, now's the moment. Make your move. 480-553-7232. You know, Jeff, there's one of the callers was talking about this story about a cave in the Grand Canyon. And that story is a true story. But there is a story around here, around the Phoenix area, there is a story about a cave in South Mountain. And we've talked about this before. Allegedly, when miners were working South Mountain, they actually built sort of a town for themselves in this cave. There was a bar, there was a hotel, restaurant, living quarters. It would make sense because, of course, it's very hot out here in the summertime. And inside the cave, it would probably, it would, you know, normal temperature in a cave is around 67 to 70 degrees. So it would be comfortable in there. What do you know, if anything, about the possibility of this cave in South Mountain?
Well, you were the one that pretty much brought that attention to me. I haven't heard anything regarding that as far as, you know, anyone else. I'd say it's possible. You know, the CCC was only here for only 2 years before the war, and that's the Civil Conservation Society. And those were the guys that came up here and was rebuilding the park, so to speak, put the Ramadas in, put in the tables and such. But they clearly show them campsites. There was a campsite out here on Central in between the mountain valley here, and this is where the men used to sleep and stuff. So I don't know. I have found a mine shaft that's open that goes, that never stops. And the guy that introduced me to that, he said that he used to play in there as a kid, and it goes 100 feet down, and then it spreads off into several different tunnels. And he says that you can get really lost down in there. We went down in there, and I started hearing bats and stuff, so we got out of there real quick. But I do want to go back and explore more. I have found the tombs. I have found several tombs. That I have confirmed. Mayan tombs. Things that look out of place that, you know, aren't natural, you know, things that look like possible a giant might have, you know, destroyed and to cover up things like this. I find these huge stone boulders thrown in spots where the Indians say these creatures come out of. And my impression on that is whoever threw this huge boulder there didn't want whatever was in there to come out. So I find many huge rock slabs, and they're thrown on doorways where these supposed lizard people come out of. So,
well, when I went up on the mountain with Walter Bosley, we found a cave opening, a small cave opening, up on a rock ledge. You had to climb up to it. And when I crawled back in to this cave to see what was back in there, you really couldn't go very far because it looked like boulders had been placed over that. There were boulders there. They looked as if they had been placed there, not as if they had fallen there.
Did they look out of place from the landscape?
Yeah, they did. But you could see between the boulders. In the cracks between the boulders, you could see that this cave went further back into the mountain, but you couldn't get back into it.
You know, I'm writing a book. It's taken me a while to get it. I mean, I'm more than halfway done with it, but all the research and the hiking and the expedition that I'm doing, this is the reason why it's taken so long, is because I can only hike when the snakes and stuff go to bed, you know, when they're not around. In my book, it explains through the research I've done through Charles Holberg, the information that's locked away in the Phoenix Library, I found out that there were seven crosses that were erected on this hill. And apparently, when the Spanish conquistadors were here in 1539, not only did the Spanish conquistador write and carve his name over there, but apparently his army erected these four crosses on this hill. Now, it was all legend up until Holbrook found it 1 year, and he accidentally found them, and he kept it a secret for many years until the city of Phoenix, I believe in 1930s, I think it was, around that time, close to 40s, they made a map and they put the hill on there. And he was like, well, since you guys put the hill on there, I'm going to tell you what's there. And he let that information go. People were still in that mindset, because the whole reason people were coming here in the first place was for looking for gold. They were gold miners. So in that period of time, they were still in the gold mine set. So these people, these thugs, thought, well, hey, you know what? Let's go dig up those crosses and look for gold. And so they went up there, they destroyed them, and Charles was upset, and he asked the city of Phoenix if they could rebuild them, and the city of Phoenix wouldn't do it with their own money, but they told Charles, well, you know, if you have some friends, you know, you and your friends can go back up there and do it. So that's what they did. They went back up there and they rebuilt these crosses. And one of his friends died of a heart attack constructing these crosses. Now, this spot is very significant, and the archaeologist doesn't talk about this spot. This spot is very hard to come by. You really have to do the research to find out if this story even exists. And let me go a little bit deeper.
Well, we've only got about a minute left.
Okay, according to this, there was a couple of padres that rolled through the Valley of the Sun. One padre was good. He understood the Indians. He liked them. They liked him. Second padre came around. They said he tried to rip them off. So they dismembered him on Four Cross Hill. Now, the legend says that this Padre ghost still walks on South Mountain and leaves his footprints on the sand of Four Cross Hill. And one day, he will reveal where his cave is, where the gold is, to the right person. So I have ran into an entity, maybe a ghost, but there was someone was walking behind me. Didn't talk to me yet, but I can clearly, you know, could tell that there was something behind me. And I think that finding locations of the crosses will lead to the location of this cave. Now, I don't expect the gold to be there because, you know, everyone has you know, been doing this research longer than I have, so I'm sure someone, matter of fact, found it. And I think this one old lady did. If you look on my YouTube page, you'll find links, and you'll find this little old lady who did find this cave, and it was full of gold nuggets. And that's how she paid her rent and stuff. So, and she claimed it was some Padre's cave. So, you know, it is possible. But, you know, the location of that, the maps are hard to get. But now, over the 2 years of research I've done and the investigation I've done, I ran into a few friends that gave me this map of the location of the crosses. And all this will be documented in my book. And I believe I'll be making, once I find it, I'll be making a video out of this also and to place it up on YouTube because this is historic because these crosses haven't been seen at least since 1945. So even possibly earlier than that. So this is a very secret location on South Mountain, and I think I'll be the first one to break it open and bring it back to the public eye. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Sounds interesting. Yeah. All right, Jeff, we've run out of time. I want to thank you for being with me this evening, and hope you'll be back with me again in the future.
Always an honor, Kevin. Thank you.
All right, just stay on the line with me for just a moment. All right, folks, that's it. That's a wrap for this evening, and keep your eyes peeled. And there are things in the skies, especially if you live in the Phoenix area. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.